It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Oh, listen to that music. Jacinda, listen to that. That's the music of the Prime Minister.
It's my sex change.
Yes, that's right, because you're the Prime Minister of New Zealand now.
So we've upgraded to full orchestral.
That's right, that's right. That's what, you've grown up now. It's time for a grown-up talk. Hey, you got sworn in as the Prime Minister of New Zealand this week. How was that?
Yes, yeah, on Thursday. It was pretty amazing. It was fantastic and really nice to have some half of my family there. My sister had a baby on the same day, not to be outdone. And so pretty big day in the Ardern family. So it means that my mum was over with her and my dad was with me, and it was pretty exciting all around.
See, that's a difficult one for your mum, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. I thought it was kind of natural call, and she, you know, she had to be with my sis. Well, it was a really big day, important day.
And because it's 2017, it couldn't be easy, could it?
No, just everything happens at once. It's the way we roll.
Hey, so when you get sworn in as the Prime Minister of this country, what were some of the things that you had to promise to do? Some of the things that were part of the deal that you had to agree to.
Well, for like literally the ceremony itself is pretty straightforward. The Governor General stands in Government House while I introduce her to all the ministers. And then she basically, in order for me to become Prime Minister, signs a piece of paper. So that was... Then I took a couple of affirmations, read out some statements, pledging my loyalty to be a good advisor to the Governor General and so on. And
the Queen, you have to, some sort of promises to the Queen. Yep.
And that's what we do when Parliament starts as well. And then, yeah, so it's quite an official ceremony and process. Takes about an hour for everyone to be sworn in. And that was that.
I was talking last week to a few people about what's been the most reassuring thing about the new government, and I think what seeing Winston Peters smile again was quite nice. He's got a I think maybe that's his charm. Maybe that's why he does so well with the old people, because he's the elderly, because he's because he's just got he just gets that craggy old Galapagos tortoise thing going on for a while, and then he cracks into a decent smile and he seems like a nice guy.
I've through all of our talks found Mr. Peters to be a really respectful, thoughtful person to engage with in negotiations. And he brings a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience to the table, and we're going to make use of that.
Last week, you and I spoke about the way that you were being interviewed once people knew what the lie of the land was going to be, and the way that you were sort of getting hounded and about policy, and you were just coming back consistently with the look. It's just, you'll find out. Just relax, everyone, have a breath, and we'll let you know. You've certainly opened the box there, though, haven't you? It's been policy, massive policy.
Well, of course, because we've set out the things that we wanted to prioritise straight off the bat. And those are the things we've been focused on. But at the same time, there's been a lot of people going back through our policies and really reflecting on what's going to change overall. So it's not going to happen all at once, of course, because things take a little bit of time, and these things that we've really said we need to square away early. But there's been a lot of coverage across a whole range of areas.
I like the idea that on Friday morning there was a whole bunch of Aucklanders sitting there moaning about the new petrol tax and gridlock traffic. I thought that was so ironic.
That's always been my view. We're paying in other ways.
Is the petrol tax just an Auckland thing, or is it there's been discussion over the weekend that that other councils may have the opportunity to take advantage of the legislation?
Our focus is on Auckland.
Just on Auckland, yep. Because that's where the glut is, isn't it, really?
Yeah, where we have some serious issues. And we would have said, actually, we need to try and pay for our own infrastructure issues, whilst, of course, central government supporting a big, you know, the massive infrastructure that's needed as well.
What about the satellite town talk that I've heard of? I just heard about that in the last couple of days. A town just south of Auckland. Wasn't Brian Tamaki thinking of doing something like that once?
There's Infrastructure New Zealand pitching that there'd be that would be something that would cater for some of Auckland's growth. So what we've said is wherever those new developments occur, because we think it'll be both a mixture of ground and brown and greenfield sites in the future. We just need to make sure that the transport links are there.
What do you mean by brown and greenfield sites?
So there is greenfield, basically entirely new areas, right, where there's not existing infrastructure. Brownfield, repurposing existing land and making use of where there is existing infrastructure. And so it's going to take a bit of both. But what we've said is that, you know, what's really important is making sure that we have decent transport links if we are extending into new areas, because the last thing you want to do is develop an area where there's just going to add to congestion.
Yep, true. And you know, there are towns south of Auckland already.
Indeed. So, you know, that's and we've got some rail plans already that would make a difference in some of those areas. But it's making sure that you plan it, basically.
Sure. Now, the another big policy announcement is the education system. Big changes there. When did this, as a party, as a Labor, you know, in the Labor Party, when did this become the genesis of this idea?
Always been opposed to national standards. Our view is that, yes, parents absolutely need to know about the progress that their kids are making, but the national standards, the way they were imposed, actually doesn't do anything to help progress kids. It doesn't change the learning outcomes for them, and it just wasn't a good measurement in our view. So we've always said that we would drop it, but again, make sure parents knew how their kids were progressing. But there are other mechanisms to do that.
When NTEA was introduced, there's various issues, because it does cause a sort of a ripple effect, doesn't it? When you do that at one point, there's the years before, the years after, the change in teaching techniques and the change in marking and all that sort of stuff. What about if we get rid of it? Don't we risk going through all that again?
Oh no! So we're not getting rid of. So the national standards is what's happening in our primary schools. NCEA, there we've got a bit of a different plan. There's some really good things about NCEA. What we're worried about there, and we're not dumping NCEA, what we're worried about there, though, is that there is a lot of assessment of kids, and some, you could say, over-assessment. And it's in some cases leads to kids just engaging and learning in a way that's all about just getting what's required to get through. So we just want to have a look at the way NCEA is working and see if we can improve it.
Lovely. Now, food tax, sugary food. Get off the fizzies, get off the fizzies, you kids.
Well, it's obviously just not, it's, you know, lots of talk about, you know, sugar taxes on fizzy drinks. Well, actually, tomato sauce, smoothie bars, cereals, there's sugar in a whole range of products.
Oh, I've done a bit of tomato sauce.
I love me some tea sauce, but we have to acknowledge this isn't just an issue with one particular product.
Sure.
So we want to work with industry. That's what's happened in the UK. They had a problem with salt over there, and by working with industry, they managed to get that down. So we want to keep our options open. But it's really, you know, a bit of a nod to them that we really appreciate them cooperating with this, sure, on this challenge, because this is a national challenge.
You use the term options there, and I think that's the term they're going to hear a lot in the next couple of years from this government. I've been listening to Talkback, this is the point. It's one of the hardest times of my life listening to Talkback in the last sort of week, because it is chock-a-block full of whinging complainers going, oh, just every fault that they find in any new policy, they've got some huge drawn out reason about why. And I mean, I guess it must be really hard when you're trying to create policy and you're trying to fix things that you perceive as being wrong, as in the government, which we're at now, and introducing them, that there's everyone saying, no, but they haven't thought about this and they haven't thought about that. How do you sort of make watertight policies? What's the trick?
Oh, look, and often we will have thought about those things. It just might be that people disagree. But, it is true that you do need to really take the time to do the work properly. And so there are certain things we've done a lot of work on already. We know the lay of the land. We know how to roll them out and make sure that we do it properly. But there's others where we do want to make sure that we go through a proper process, work alongside those who work in the areas that we're worried about or where we think we can do better, and make use of their ideas too. Governments never have a monopoly on all the good ideas, and so it's about making use of those resources as well. But speech from the throne will give a bit of an indication to people of the things that we're prioritising really early on to get on with.
All right. So what's up for what's happening this week for you as Prime Minister? I suppose you've got to get all this up and underway before you head off to APEC as well.
Yes. So there is a big chunk of work I've got to get kind of sorted before I head off overseas, which would be next Thursday. This week I'll be announcing when Parliament officially kicks off. Got a few other. I've got a cabinet meeting on Tuesday.
Cabinet? You've got a cabinet meeting on Tuesday. Woohoo! Cool.
Indeed.
Just saying.
Our second one. So we'll just be getting straight into it.
Everyone's all the new portfolios. Everyone's happy. No one wants to do any swaps. You know, not finding people in the hall.
You've got to sort that out before you announce it. Yep.
Hey, Jacinda, thank you very much for talking to us. Appreciate the fact this is now the ongoing slot of the Prime Minister of New Zealand. And we'll speak to you again this time next week.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
That's Jacinda Ardern.
That was What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.